Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson. We're going to take a walk through it, which is, by the way, called a homily as opposed to a sermon, technical term. But if you have the epistle in front of you, then we begin the walk through. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. That's verses 2 and 3. And isn't that the way it happens? Time and time again, things come upon the world or come upon a country or a people, and you look back and you say, well, were there warnings? Oh, yes. What then happened? Well, the warnings most didn't pay attention to, and those that noticed the warnings just simply hoped that the thing that they portended would just pass them by. And when the something happens, then there's a lot of surprise. So we didn't suspect, but no, there were warnings. This is a basic understanding of human nature. And it's a basic understanding of the end of the world. But guess what? We are end of the world people, aren't we? We're looking forward to the end of the world. As Christians, the end of the world means Jesus coming back. Oh, and by the way, in a certain way, we are working to bring about the end of the world. There, I've spilled the secret, haven't I? By the way, a whole lot of people have come along and they've tried to predict when is the day of the end of the world. So many of them that if a pastor wanted to and he grabbed the things that come along just at random, he could fill about this much of his bookshelf with end-of-the-world books that make specific predictions, like the one that proved absolutely for sure that the world would end on a certain day in September in 1994. I've got that one, bought it in 1995 when the author was trying to get it back. Okay, so those things happen. When the disciples asked Jesus about the end of the world in the book of Acts, toward the beginning of the book of Acts, what did he say? It is not for you to know times or seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That was our assignment. Well, end of the world things. The latest big thing about end of the world happens to be a thing called global warming climate change. And think about that. What did Jesus say? It is not for you to know times or seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority. And toss into this mix that all of the end of the world things that the world pays attention, looks at, gives some credence to, those are things that have to do with doom and death and destruction. But the one end of the world message that comes from the only person to break the power of death, the one end of the world message that has to do with resurrection and eternal life, the world doesn't pay much attention to that, does it? And so Christians are the odd ones out because we look at it in a certain way, and the way we look at it is completely the opposite of the rest of the world. Moving on, verses 6 and 7. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. Yes, we are children of the light. And there is a certain light that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not comprehended it. And so with Jesus coming into the world, he reveals the light of God. He shines the light of God into a dark world, into a world of unbelief, into a world of wandering, separated from God, and wandering, separated from each other. He gives that light, and he gives that light into a world where the response of so much of the world is to turn against the light. So Christians around the world who stand up for the name of Jesus are very often persecuted. They have their possessions taken. Laws are passed forbidding the speaking of the name of Jesus, the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a shirt at home that says, this shirt is illegal in, 57 countries? Because it has a cross on it and it quotes a verse from the Bible. It is actually illegal to wear that shirt in a whole lot of areas of the world. And yet Christians in those areas, they know that they have the light. They have the light of Jesus Christ, and the only light that can bring their neighbors out of darkness, out of unbelief, and out of death, into light and faith and eternal life. And Christians, given that burden and given that gift and sent out into the world, around the world, they make a good confession. They face difficulties and trials. They face imprisonment. They face suffering, sometimes even torture, sometimes death. And that has been in the news lately as well. We pray for our brothers in Christ, our brothers and sisters around the world, who for the name of Jesus face that persecution. We remember the prayers that they have asked us to pray. And I keep reciting this year after year. The third most important prayer is for the persecution to be eased. That's not the most important. That's not the second most important. But they ask us to pray for that and to speak on their behalf, to urge our government and our officials and leaders around the world to guard the freedom of religion. Second most important that they pray for, not first, but second, is they ask for boldness to continue their witness, faithfully speaking the name of Jesus. Now, you ask, how is that second? What is the number one thing they pray for? They ask us to pray for? And it is very simply this, for the hearts of the persecutors to be turned, to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest passion that we hear from the persecuted church around the world. That is quite unique in the history of religions, isn't it? But it follows the words of Jesus to pray for those who persecute us. There is a truth in Jesus Christ that gives light to all of the things that happen in this life. The truth of Jesus Christ makes it understandable why the world would stand up against the gospel and the truth of salvation and forgiveness in Jesus. The truth in Jesus Christ confronts and tells us two very pointed things. Number one, we are sinners. together with the rest of humanity, sinners in need of a Savior, and second, that God has provided that Savior for us and for everyone else. That is the truth in Jesus Christ. The truth in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is the salvation, the forgiveness that we have through Him, through His suffering, His blood, His death, His resurrection, and the call to every single man, woman, and child in this world to come to a knowledge of the truth. And we go on. Verse 8. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Thinking very seriously, very soberly about our condition, our lives, and the lives of Christians around the world, what is needed? And as Paul says, the breastplate of faith and love. That's first. Faith means, very simply, let's use Luther's definition, faith means to believe the words and promises of God. When you tie in with the words and promises of God, you hear Him saying things to you. Your sins are forgiven. Because I lived, you will live. Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And on and on and on those promises go. And when you hear those promises and when those promises touch your heart and when those promises live within you by the power of the Holy Spirit, to believe those promises, well, it puts all of life into a completely different perspective. From the smallest little things, the day-by-day life, the problems that we may experience as momentary things, the promises of God, that the glory that is to be revealed in us, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to that, that we will be sustained by God, by His love, by His promises. But believing those things then changes the Christian life so that we face the daily existence in this world and we face what not only we but all the rest of humanity faces in this life. And our response then, believing the promises of God, is able to be one of love. So that you can combine Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church and the sending of boxes of gifts all over the world to children around the world who may not know Jesus Christ, but they are gifts of love and care, reaching out in the name of Jesus to share the love of God in some way. And this is the pattern of Christians down through the ages, generation after generation. The breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Because you see, we've taken a peek. We've watched the last reel of the movie. We opened the book to the last chapter. We know what is going to unfold. We've heard it from God Himself. The hope of salvation. We're waiting for these things to happen. We are end of the world people. Because we know that what is going to happen in our future are things that are so amazing. They cannot be described by words, spoken or written. They're so amazing that Well, it is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can read that. So amazing that these things are impossible to describe in this age, but what will be revealed to us and in us, what we will see happening, the glory that we will watch unfolding, the gathering of all of the saints, the whole Christian church, into the celebration that Jesus has planned for us. Well, that's the hope that we have. And we are end of the world people because, knowing those things, we have been given an assignment by Jesus to share this message of salvation. See, we want our neighbors to be a part of the celebration. We want our neighbors in Morris, our neighbors throughout Illinois, our neighbors throughout this country, our neighbors overseas, our neighbors in the far distant lands. Neighbors that I heard about when the missionary came from Papua New Guinea and told us about our neighbors there who needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ so they could be a part of this. Our neighbors in the Arab lands who do not know who Jesus is and what sort of promises are given in Him. We want all of them to be a part of this end of the world that involves the resurrection from the dead. And we go on once again. Verses 9 and 10, we come to the heart of everything. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Not destined to wrath. That's us. Not destined for wrath? Oh, but we were. We were destined for wrath, for destruction, for judgment, for eternal death, for separation from God. We were destined for that. But through Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed. We have been bought back. We have been purchased with a price. We have been given this new promise from God, that we are no longer destined for wrath. How did that happen? You know the answer to that, don't you? It happened through the cross. It happened through the empty tomb. It happened through Jesus dying and rising for us. It happened because He counted us worthy enough and important enough that He decided, not because we were so good, but He decided because of His love that He wanted us to be with Him forever, to see His glory, to live with Him through all eternity, to share the blessings, to rejoice through all eternity. So for us, we were destined for wrath, we are not anymore. We are destined for blessing and joy. For us, Judgment Day was a thing to be afraid of. Now Judgment Day is the return of Jesus and the amazing celebration. You know that Easter song? Jesus lives and now is death, but the gate of life eternal. Even death has been changed for us as Christians. It no longer is what it was. And of course, you know how that happened. And you can recite it with me in this way that we recite it back and forth, can't you? You know how it goes. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. We have one more part in this epistle lesson. therefore, encourage one another. And I don't think that needs any explaining. In Jesus' name, amen.